Good afternoon, everyone. Today is the June 2nd, 2025 meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission. I am going to hand it over to Lauren to discuss processes and procedures for tonight's meeting. Lauren.
Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. You will have 3 minutes to speak and staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Going back to my agenda. So I will now call for the approval of the last meeting minutes. That is May 19th, 2025. Do I have a motion?
I'll move approval.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. And now I will assume unanimous consent and I'll move on to the public comment period of our agenda. The public comment period of the Madison Landmarks agenda is for the public to comment on something that is not currently on our agenda. Seeing no registrants, I will move on to disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Does anyone have anything to disclose or recuse? Seeing none, I will move on to, It is the practice of the Landmarks Commission to approve a consent agenda. This includes items that are removed from the agenda to be voted on as a group on which staff believes an application has had sufficient review towards approval with all the conditions placed upon it. The applicant accepts those conditions, and there are no individuals who are registered to speak in opposition to the item. The consent agenda is addressed at the beginning of the meeting to allow applicants and registrants to leave the meeting unless a member of the commission requests separation. And then the agenda item is placed back on the agenda and reviewed as part of the regular course of business. The following are proposed for the consent agenda, and that is agenda item number 3, Legstar file 88189, 1775 Norman Way. Do any commissioners request separation of a project? Then do we have a motion on the agenda?
I'll move to adopt the consent agenda.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I can second.
Thank you. I will assume unanimous consent and we will move on to our regular agenda. So, first up is advisory recommendation. This is agenda item number 2, Legistar file 88188, 501 East Washington Avenue. This is a development adjacent to a designated Madison landmark. Heather, would you like me to hand it to you or will we do public comment first?
I think it likely makes sense to go ahead and do public comment first and then I can do the staff presentation.
Okay, that sounds great. Let me just get my timer up, although I don't know if it'll work anymore with my headset, but I'll at least have the agenda. So we have, first up is Kurt Steggy, registered in opposition, wishing to speak. Kurt, are you here? I have not, haven't looked at who's on yet.
I am here. I assume you can hear me?
I can. You want to go
Great.
Ahead?
Great. I just wanted to, was clearly a positive change in terms of the effect on the Matamor Mullaney House to move the inlet from East Washington to East Main Street. And I think that made a big difference in the proposal. I think there's some clarification might be appropriate. When I read the staff notes, I understood the inlet was going to actually be directly behind 512. It is not directly behind 512. It's behind 504, which isn't a huge difference, but it isn't going to be quite as prominent or significant when taken into consideration. The Nelson House, which is this also a landmark, is at 504 East Main. That's the one I just referenced, rather than at 501. Excuse me. And those two landmark houses do have a clear relationship, and are significant to each other. They are on the northwest edge of the First Settlement District. And because they're on the edge, it makes it very difficult for designing something that is not so large or visually intrusive to be to adversely affect historic character and integrity. I'd like to point out a couple things relative to the trees that are referenced. There are clearly some trees in the backyard of 512, and they do tend to shield the proposed building. I'm not sure if they have leaves on all the year round or conifers or deciduous, but clearly that would make a difference. But the other thing is that it seems to me that looking at the design plans, that some of those trees may be on the property where the development is going to occur. And I couldn't tell which ones would come down for that construction project and which would remain. Finally, design image page 48 shows a robin's egg blue house that's the landmark, and a lot of it, and then right next to it is this.
I'm sorry, Kurt, that's your 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The other people I have registered are registered in support wishing to speak. They also appear to be part of the design team. This includes Stephen Rosendich, Nick Orthman, Adam Templer, Mark Ott, and John Barrick. I apologize if I pronounced any of those names incorrectly. Do any of you want to speak at this time? Otherwise, I will hand it over to Heather. You are just registered in support, available to answer questions.
Correct. Yep. Just here if you need us to answer any questions.
Okay, excellent. Then I will hand it over to Heather for her presentation.
Okay. So I did not put an image up for this first page, but this is an adjacency review. So Landmarks Commission is not an approving entity for projects that will be reviewed by the Urban Design Commission and or the Plan Commission, where the development is adjacent to a landmark, and that means that it shares a property line. The Landmarks Commission provides an advisory recommendation to those bodies about the proposed development. So what is being proposed is to construct a 7-story apartment building behind the Mattermore Mullaney House at 512 East Main Street. So for what we're talking about, so I've got a little arrow here to the landmark that we're talking about. In the staff report, I mentioned the landmark that is next door to the one that we're talking about, but it is not adjacent to the proposed development because this side property that fronts out on South Franklin Street ends up cutting that off. So the rear of the property at 504 East Main does not actually, the adjacency is broken. It does not share a property line. So it is not part of our review. But pulling together some images from the proposal, well, you can see the two landmarks next to each other. The landmark that we're talking about, because it shares a lot line with the proposed development, is the one here on the right that I put a little arrow over. And looking at the larger context of the site, now I've got a GIS image on the next slide, but for the end of the context of the neighborhood that this is in, these two landmarks kind of stand out for this stretch of the historic district. For all, there's no adjacency to a historic district, there's only adjacency to a landmark. We've got this larger infill next to them. We've got a surface parking lot over here. So there's already a lot of missing teeth around this property. Well, sorry, this is, I'm forgetting the slide order, but this looks at the properties in question again. So this 512 East Main Street, which is the one that shares a property line with the project site. And we also see this corridor here along East Wash, where we've got some taller buildings that are going up and will continue to go up because of the city plans that call for increasing density along this corridor, where we still have some surface parking lots and some lower density development that was very auto oriented. And so we've got things like the apartment building that's catacorner across the intersection there. And we will see more buildings like that come along this entire corridor. But for looking at what it looks like, well, so that's what it looks like now and what it would look like with the proposed new building. So it's a little bit of an oddly shaped lot with this flagpole that comes out. And so the development kind of snakes around the outline. But you can also tell a bit here why the boundary for the First Settlement Historic District cut off this property, because we have a less dense single family residential neighborhood with, there are some larger things in it, like the church over here. And here we have another view where you can see the landmark in question. And yes, the U is, it's behind, but it's a little off center here, but there is a bit of a relief. Having said that, these properties are sharing rear property lines, and so it's not looming up immediately next door. There is a substantial backyard and a deep lot that is providing that bit of buffer space in between the proposed new larger development and this smaller landmark building. Another aerial view. I like this view because it gives you the feel for the larger stuff that is already up on East Wash. The St. John's site is also going to be redeveloped here in the near future. But then you also see this stretch. So we've got church over here, but then we also have the state's heat plant just one block away in terms of larger, substantial buildings that are taking up most of a block. So this isn't totally out of context with what we're seeing around in the vicinity. Across the street from the designated landmark, we also have the McGrath infill that was approved with the COA for infill in the First Settlement Historic District. But what I was looking at was the standards for the overall review of, is this so overly large and visually intrusive as to adversely affect the character or significance of the landmark? I think this is still able to convey its historic associations, particularly when paired with the landmark right next door. This is happening, you know, on the other half of this block, and it is going into an area where we're going to see more larger buildings come down this corridor. So it isn't going to be the odd one out. It's going to be a part of this view shed for what is going on with this commercial corridor that comes into the heart of downtown. So for the applicable standards, this is in the zoning portion of the ordinance, but what we are looking at is the Landmarks Commission is to determine whether the proposed development is so large or visually intrusive as to adversely affect the historic character and integrity of the adjoining landmark in this instance, although the overall site is a landmark site. So I've got a more detailed discussion in the staff report, but staff recommends Landmarks Commission advise the Plan Commission and Urban Design Commission that the proposed work will not be so large or visually intrusive as to adversely affect the historic character and integrity of the adjoining landmark. And that's what I got.
Thank you, Heather. Does anyone have any questions for Heather or the design team? Jacob.
Yeah, for the design team, I'm aware that it is a very oddly shaped lot, and that particularly the eastern half of it is difficult to do this with, but was there a consideration of having some of the upper stories set back?
Yep. Hey, Jacob, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Nick Orthman with Bear Real Estate Group, developer for the project. As Katie mentioned at the start of the call, we've got a variety of team members on the call as well that can assist. But in terms of, you know, stepping back the upper floors, we did do that in certain locations along the building. Actually, the upper floor that kind of juts out towards Blair Street is set back a few feet, Mark or John from JLA, they might be able to assist with the actual measurements there. So we did do a little bit of stepping back on the upper floors, and then we did a few other things to try to create some ins and outs with the building and pull it back as best we can. You know, as Heather mentioned, initially we had the U, I'll call it the U-shaped courtyard, you know, flipped towards East Washington. We decided to, you know, essentially invert that very early on in the project to limit the impact as best we could along the historic district. And then we also have an additional step back at the precast level of our building. So above the parking garage, which goes up, I believe, to level two, or set back a little bit further in certain spots. So we didn't do a wholesale step back at the upper levels like you're asking, but we did try to bake in those elements as best we could in certain areas along the building, specifically along this facade. We did a few other things, you know, kind of removed balconies from that location and tried to bias them so that they're not facing directly over the historic house, and just give it some relief that way as well.
Thanks. Thanks. That actually helps a lot to see the effects of that. Is anybody else?
If there's no other questions, then I'm looking for a motion. So,
I will just make a comment that because the principal facade of this building is East Wash, and that this is essentially the back of the building facing the back of an historic property, to me, I don't think it's overwhelming the size of it. And it looks like the trees that are in the backyard of these both historic houses will actually help to smooth out the height. So I can appreciate this is a sort of a unique situation and location of historic houses and building.
Molly, are you seconding, or do you have a comment?
I think we're still in the comments.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I have a couple thoughts to share. I think that I agree with Jacob that this being on the back of the building, of the landmark site, adjacent to the back of the landmark site, makes it more palatable as far as its size and overwhelming the landmark. I also think that the lot being a deep lot for the landmark site is also helpful. I'm less, I guess, comfortable talking about the trees because in other instances, those are not considered like a permanent feature of the landmark site or the site behind the landmark site. And in other instances, yeah, when people bring up concerns about, yeah, a tree is going to be removed in order to build this, that's not something that really comes into our consideration. So I don't know that we can use that as a justification for whether or not this building is intrusive on the site. Although naturally they do make I mean, the trees that exist now do provide sort of a boundary and distinction for the site. I guess this is my ignorance in like architecture. I will ask the designers about the inset. Are there any ways to you know, we talked about how the inset is offset from the landmark, this landmark property. And I wonder if they could speak to any possibilities for providing more relief behind this particular house.
Yeah, thanks for the question. This is Mark from JLA. You know, apartment buildings have a normal kind of depth that they want to be, right? To get the most amount of windows, you really want windows. You kind of want long linear apartments versus, you know, kind of a box, if you will, of the building. So the courtyard, when we use the size of the property, which is a weird shape, right? When you take the main piece there, and then you add in the typical dimensions that you want for double-sided corridor apartment building, it kind of puts the courtyard, if you will, where it puts it. And so to come move it either left or right basically is a significant loss to, you know, units on either side, right? So you end up gaining space you don't need on one side of the courtyard and taking away valuable space for apartments on the other side. So it's really just that simple of a kind of answer of why it kind of lays out and how the orientation is with the site. And then with the trees, there are a couple smaller trees that are on our property, but the vast, I know what you're talking about with the trees being an ephemeral kind of element and whatnot. The vast majority of the mature trees, although, you know, they have a life cycle, are not on the subject property, ours, meaning so they won't be taken down for construction of this. There are a couple of smaller ones that are kind of parking lot trees, if you will. If you look, there's a lot of parking lot of the existing building that runs along the shared boundary. So a couple of smaller ones will be taken down, but the vast majority of these really nice, heavy, mature trees are on the historic building properties, if you will.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Otherwise, I am looking for a motion or continued discussion. Jacob.
I think I will go ahead and make a motion, and I will make a motion to approve the project as shown.
I would like to remind that we are not an approving entity, so this is an advisory recommendation to Plan Commission and Urban Design Commission on whether or not the proposed development is so overly large and visually intrusive as to adversely affect the character and integrity of the adjacent landmark.
I will make a motion to advise the Plan Commission that it will not adversely affect the neighboring historic structures, landmark structures.
Thank you. Alder Duncan, is that a second? Excellent. I am going to assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise. Seeing none, thank you all for coming, and we will move on to agenda item number 4, Legistar file 88465, North South Bus Rapid Transit, section 106 review.
So I'm going to do a very brief intro here, and then I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Mike Cecfalo, to talk through the details of that side of things. So to reiterate what was in the staff report, this is also not something that we are approving. So this is part of our federal obligations. Folded into that is also our state obligations to comply with state statute 661111 for the city to comment. Well, the city's Landmarks Commission, because we are certified local government, we serve as a stakeholder for undertakings that have a federal nexus. And as part of that, we provide comments on whether or not these undertakings will have an impact on historic properties. For this instance, we're talking about what is a historic property. Is related to National Historic Preservation Act. So we're talking about properties that are either listed in or potentially eligible to the National Register of Historic Places. We did this review with the East West BRT, and that was a lot more involved with what we have here. The station design, we've already gone through for the East West. For this particular, for the north-south, the central area is the same as what was the east-west. So the architectural report that is included for your review talks about all those same resources that we previously identified. There's not going to be any new impacts to those historic resources. And otherwise, we're talking about a north-south corridor. I went through and looked at the historic resources. I'm probably going to do another comb through after the commission meeting to provide any staff comments. But to me, this seems really straightforward. It was a lot more complicated with the East-West, where we had the route and some stations going into some National Register historic districts. Otherwise, the architectural report identifies historic resources that had already been identified. But has the recommendation of not doing an official determination of eligibility, which is for Section 106, there's two parts. First, you identify the historic properties, then you do an evaluation of any potential adverse effects. And by my interpretation of them saying that they don't plan on doing a DOE, a determination of eligibility for any of the historic resources that are within the area of potential effect, is because there's not going to be any visual impacts in terms of where the station locations are. The buses are going up and down roads that already have buses going up and down them. So with the East West, we reviewed twice. First was to concur with the identification of historic properties and talk about any additional historic properties. And there were a few other ones that we wanted them to add in. But then after we made sure we had all of the historic properties, they came back a second time to talk about an evaluation of effects. From my analysis, I don't recommend this coming back for analysis of effects. I agree with the consultants in terms of that the resources that they've identified, none of the station locations are going to interrupt any view sheds or even have the possibility of having an effect on any of these historic properties. So I am not the decider. Landmarks Commission, you are the body that would make recommendations and ask for this to return if you would like it to return. For this review, Mike's going to talk through the project and where we stand with the federal compliance process. If there are historic properties that you think weren't captured as part of this review, please say something. After this meeting is over with, you are still able to provide comments. This is a public meeting for the public to also come and provide comments on potential historic resources, but in particular, the Landmarks Commission to talk about any particular historic resources that may be impacted by this undertaking. And if you don't feel like you had the opportunity to say your piece tonight, you can continue to send in comments, and that will be included as part of the compliance review. Otherwise, I would also be looking for your feedback on if you want this to return for an assessment of effects. So, with that, I will turn it over to Mike.
Thank you, Heather. That was a good introduction and covered some of what I was planning. So that helps me quite a bit. Let me see if I can share my PowerPoint here. If you're not seeing my PowerPoint, please let me know, but I think you are. So I'm going to skip the introduction because Heather did a better job than I could have. So a little bit about the project. East-West Bus Rapid Transit was essentially Route A, shown in the red line here, going from West Madison to East Madison and back along Mineral Point University and East Wash. North-South Bus Rapid Transit is the second bus rapid transit line that we're planning. North-South line is essentially Route B. Route B, as you'd guess, goes from South Madison and actually it starts in Fitchburg, South Madison, goes to North Madison. And so
About nine of the stations have been already constructed, as well as the bus lanes through downtown and Isthmus area, where routes A and B overlap each other. And so the actual project is kind of split into two. There's kind of the north section of it and the south section of it. It's all one route and it's all one project, but there's kind of this kind of gap in the middle. So all of the changes are really happening within those black boundaries on either North Madison, South Madison, or in Fitchburg. There is one shelter being added at East Campus Mall. I'll talk about that briefly, but for the most part, it should be pretty similar to the East-West BRT and Rapid Route A, because have completed the central section. We've kind of gone through those neighborhoods that have more historic resources in them. The central segment is included in our area of potential effects, but essentially no work is being done there. Just a little background on BRT. It's fewer stops with dedicated lanes, higher quality stations with raised platforms, and priority at traffic signals. That's what we'll be adding to Route B. And then some of the features of bus rapid transit have already been implemented to Route B because of its integration with Route A and the East-West BRT project. So, for example, the service every 15 minutes, that has already been implemented. The faster fare payment has been implemented because all of our fares are essentially, they're all one system. And then the electric 60-foot buses have already been implemented because Route B already goes through the Isthmus, where it needs those buses to serve the center running platforms. So we're just adding more of this bus rapid transit infrastructure to support Route B. So there's going to be more BRT stations like this. This is an example of a BRT station on Mineral Point Road that was constructed with the East-West project. All of these are slightly different, but they all kind of look pretty similar. We intend to continue with the same basic design of the BRT stations. We might make a few small adjustments just based on technical stuff, but the look and feel of them will all be the same. And you can see the bus lanes. So the bus lanes, stations, and buses work together with a service plan to create the bus rapid transit product. To mention, the buses have already been purchased, so there are no new buses planned with this project. It's all basically the stations and any changes to the street. Snapshot of where we are. We've adopted the locally preferred alternative, which identifies the basic route, station locations, and general running way characteristics. So that's a very broad plan of what the BRT system is going to be that was adopted last year. Right now, we're at the preliminary design phase. So 30% design is 30% in terms of completion. So, that's laying out the lanes and actual locations of the platforms and that kind of thing. And then moving forward, we'll be going to future phases of design, 60, 90, and 100% design, and then construction probably in 2027 and 2028. I'll talk about the north section and then I'll kind of talk about the south section. So these are the station locations. I'm not going to go through them in detail, but we have stations about 2 to 3 stations per mile, which is a little bit more spread out than the current bus stops that are on there. So, some of the bus stops are closed and some of them are converted to BRT stations, is basically what's going to happen here. This is all on public streets. There are no off-street or out-of-right-of-way facilities. There's no new streets being constructed or new busways or anything like that. So, this is the north section, and then you go through the Isthmus, which is already complete from Milwaukee Street to East Campus. And then we come down Park Street. So again, we have stations, about 2 to 3 stations per mile on Park Street and Fish Hatchery Road. Part of this project will encompass some full street reconstruction on Park Street. So that includes not only building the BRT infrastructure, but also a full street reconstruct. So replacing the pavement, the utilities, the curbs, sidewalks where needed. And I'm sure most of us are pretty familiar with that, that kind of project. So that's needed anyway. So to combine it with the BRT project, it allows us to just go in, get it done, and leave, as opposed to doing things more piecemeal. One slight change here is that we are currently showing reconstruction from Fish Hatchery to Planer, Wingra, essentially Wingra Creek on Park Street. We are trying to get those limits extended to reconstruct more of Park Street, because the section south of Wingra Creek and north of Badger Road is also in pretty poor condition. It's not in as poor condition, but it's in pretty poor condition. So that's a pretty basic summary. This is just a little more on the Park Street reconstruction, which I covered in the previous slide, so I'm going to skip that one. And so because this is a federally a funded in part project, we are required to investigate the potential effects on historic properties as well as other analysis and environmental review. So there are two historic districts that the route goes through, the Bascom Hill Historic District and also the State Street Historic District. Those are both in the central corridor where the BRT system has already been completed. And a couple of historic properties that are listed there, Vilas Hawley's Bluff Condominiums, Cronin Brothers Saloon, Barnard Hall, and Unit Well Number 2. The only change that I do want to bring up in this area is in this picture here. So we're looking westbound on University Avenue, just before East Campus Mall, which is in turn just before Park Street, if you can get your bearings there. So this is the near the art museum. So the station platform that is, there are two station platforms there. One is on the west side of the intersection, and one is on the east side of the intersection. The one on the west side has a BRT station already. The one on the east side does not. That station is not immediately adjacent to a historic property, but we did not include a shelter for other reasons. We are proposing installing a shelter onto this existing platform, so it would look identical to the shelter that's on the other side of this intersection. So I think Heather has kind of brought up what we're asking for. I think we see this to be very low impact in terms of historical preservation, but looking for any other kind of feedback or agreement or disagreement with that assessment. Thank you.
Thank you. I will actually start with comments, just because for those of you who are new and or don't know me, I actually am I'm one of the cultural resource managers for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. I work mainly for Federal Highway Administration projects, and I do not touch FTA projects. But I also know the reviewer who is going to look at this very well. So I did see a couple of things that I'd like to comment on. The first is, this report needs a picture of the shelters. Like, take a like that picture that you have in this PowerPoint. Excellent, great. But she's going to want a picture of one of the shelters. She walks by one every day. She's still going to want a picture of the shelter. Additionally, include that discussion that they are potentially going to, like, the stations aren't going to look exactly the same. That it says that in this report, but it doesn't say it outright, and you need to be really specific with Kim. So, like, be like, you have to specifically say that things are going to change, so pass that on to them. Additionally, the discussion that it does, the report doesn't currently call that section out on Park Street as a full reconstruct, and we need to do that. We should be calling that out as a full reconstruct. Right now it's super, it's like, reading between the lines, I know it's a reconstruct, but it should be called out as a full reconstruct of the street, because that changes the APE for that specific area. And those are my comments at the moment, just for the project itself.
Okay, thank you. That's super helpful. I've written those down. We can incorporate all of those. Yeah, just to be clear, the things that we're planning on changing are not really cosmetic in any way. Mm-hmm. It's, for example, the roof structure we feel has created a few leaks, and which are fixable. It's not a big deal, but stuff like that.
Yeah.
Under the skin type stuff.
Yeah, just know that the reviewer takes buses really regularly and will watch these go up and will notice if something is slightly different. So that's mostly why I'm like, you got to be totally upfront and just be like, we're going to change some stuff. It's not going to impact the visual of what these look like, but we should still be they should still be upfront with her about there is potential minor changes.
Got it. Makes sense. We can do that.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any comments? Alder Duncan.
I would just agree with staff with regards to it not needing to come back to us for an additional review. I think that if the areas where there was historical districts have already been reviewed in the east to west, and there are not additional historic districts and or historic pieces of property along the other parts for the north to south, I trust staff's ability to be able to say that this looks good from that standpoint.
Yeah, this is different from the east-west, where like along State Street, where there were stations in front of buildings, or the there on the campus mall, the one that actually is in front of some of what is a historic building. That's different than what we're talking about here. There's not a station that's going to be right up on top of a historic resource.
I guess I was going to jump in and suggest slightly different wording if we were going to reply back to them, which is I was going to say, yes, Heather, looking through the report, it looks like some sort of effect document is going to be done for this. It's probably going to be a determination of no adverse effect. And I agree, at this time, we don't need to see that. I think we should go back to them and say that we have no comments at this time and would agree with a finding of no adverse effects, but would like to remain a consulting party and be notified of any project changes that have the potential to impact historic resources.
It is almost like you've done this before.
Also, knowing how this whole thing works, if you don't specifically ask for that, they do forget about you and forget to come back to you. Molly.
Yeah, so I largely agree with everything Katie has said and your reframing of the no adverse effects is nice. Is there a reason why the existing stop by East Campus Mall can't just be used for all the buses?
Oh, that's a deep question. Yeah. When we were building East West BRT, we were looking at both sides of East Campus Mall for a station. This is one of the highest ridership stations in the system. So we said it absolutely has to have a shelter. It's kind of we have shelters at all of the stops, but if we were going to not have one, it definitely was not going to be at this station. So if we located it to the west of East Campus Mall, it could have a shelter. However, Route B buses, which turn left immediately on Park Street, would not have enough room to swing over three lanes and make the left turn onto Park Street. If we located it east of East Campus Mall, Route B would be fine, but the UW was opposed to having a shelter there at that time. They've since changed that opinion, but they did not want to have a shelter in front of a bus shelter in front of their some space that they had programmed for art. And so the solution was to kind of build two, one on the west side for routes A and F that have a shelter, and then one on the east side for route B so that it could turn left. The thought being that, you know, anybody who's riding route B could just wait in the shelter if it's cold, if it's raining or something, and then walk over. That would be, you know, at least better than nothing. Since we've opened, it actually works very well because a lot of people are going either west and they're taking any bus, either route A or F, they don't really care, or they're going south and they definitely need route B. And so locating them at two different platforms allows those people to kind of split themselves up and not think they're getting on any bus going west, and then all of a sudden the bus turns left and goes down Park Street, and then they're going in the wrong direction. So there's actually some logic to it as well. I would say the main shortcoming is that there's not a shelter for the Route B stop, and there really needs to be one. So we're planning on installing one.
Thanks.
Anybody else have any questions? Otherwise, I'm looking for a motion. Molly.
I think we move. I move it. I move that we take Katie's language, which I don't think I can repeat exactly.
Heather got it, right?
Yeah, and it's recorded, so I...
Okay, yeah.
We can go back and get it.
Yeah, but that is our... We're not doing any kind of approval now, right? That's our, like, recommend... Or, like, our...
Recommended comments recommendations, yeah. That we would send in to the FTA as part of this undertaking.
Yeah, that's my motion.
Is there a second? Thank you, Alder Duncan. I will assume unanimous consent. And thank you for coming, Mike, and presenting to us. We appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, Mike's not done yet.
Oh, he's not. Oh, is he going to talk? Oh, he's going to talk about the next thing too, isn't he? Okay. Sorry. I have not looked ahead in my...
I'll just say that. As someone who takes the B to work, I appreciate the updates. No other comments.
Okay, so we'll move on to, I clicked out of the agenda because I was going to the 106 report. Okay, next up we have agenda item number 5. This is Registrar File 88466, Kennedy Road Charging Station. I do want to let you know, Mike, that you are not registered for this, but you did register for 4 twice. So if you are going to talk about 5, I think I'm going to need you to jump in and register. But I'm going to hand it over to you, Heather.
Sure. So this charging station is a point for the BRT where, as part of us doing the BRT, we discovered that we need this other charging station in order for the buses to be able to successfully make their route. In addition to the bus being able to charge up, it is also a good place for the person who is driving the bus to be able to take a break. So while this could be folded into the larger north-south BRT, this is something that the city wants to do pretty quickly. So it is being pulled out separately. Now, having said that, while there is a potential historic resource loosely in the vicinity, the stop isn't on that side of the street. The engineering staff did work with planning staff, including me, for coming up with a design for this facility, knowing that this is going to be in a residential neighborhood. It still needs to read, we don't want it to read like as a house. So this is very much a public infrastructure facility, and it needs to read as that, but it also needs to be sensitive to the neighborhood in which it is located. And once this is there, it's going to be there for a while, and it would be nice if it looked like it belonged in the neighborhood. So we went through some iterations, and so we've got the design as it stands. Really, we're looking at, again, our purview as a stakeholder as a part of Section 106, identifying historic resources and talking about if there's a finding of adverse effect. And this is very minimal. And so my recommendation, if this had come to me, would be, if I had responded to this administratively, would have been, you know, thank you for the opportunity to comment. We agree with your the findings of no adverse effect. But since these are coming in at the same time, rolled this into Landmarks Commission's review as well. If you have concerns, you think there are historic resources that have not been accurately called out, or you think there is an adverse effect to historic resources, please say something.
Okay, and I have registered now for item 5.
Okay, so, excellent. You can go ahead if you have a presentation.
Yes, I don't really have it's kind of a continuation of the previous.
Mm-hmm.
But let me try to share that again. Okay, so if you recall, which I'm sure you do, North-South BRT will have two ends of the lines. One will be here at the north side at Northport and Kennedy on the very north side of Madison, and then the other terminal will be on the south side in Fitchburg, south side of the metro area in Fitchburg here. So like Route A, we'll have chargers on both ends of the route to keep the bus in service. Right now we have to drive the bus back to our maintenance facility on Hanson Road, which is up over here, to charge the buses. And so there's this kind of complicated driving back and forth and swapping out dead buses with fresh ones and things like that. That is very operationally difficult for us. It takes a lot of person hours. It takes a lot of buses. We could free up a lot of buses and a lot of resources by having these chargers. And so what we're planning on doing is building one of them earlier as a separate project. And that's this one at Northport and Kennedy on the north end of the line. So if I go back to a map here, it's at Kennedy Station on Northport at Kennedy going westbound. There's a couple other bus things that will change with this. So when we open this, which again is ahead of the BRT project, we'll reverse this loop because we have to go westbound on Northport to serve it. Some of the stops will be moved to the other side of the street and that kind of thing. But anyway, this is a more of an immediate need to keep Route B running as opposed to the longer range route North-South BRT project. So this is kind of a general overview of the area. We have inherited some excess right-of-way on the northwest corner of Northport and Kennedy, which is kind of adjacent to some homes there. And there's some apartments across the street, across Northport, and also on the other side of Kennedy as well. But we intend to use that area for a bus pullout, bus stop, and charger. So this is kind of what the charging system looks like. The overhead piece with that's called a pantograph. The orange thing is a pantograph that comes down, makes contact with the terminals on the top of the bus, and charges the battery. It gives it a really quick, fast charge to try to top it up and get as much charge as they can on the battery while the bus is sitting there at the end of the line. With that comes a little support building. So this is a kind of a plan view sketch of the area. Northport going westbound will create a new pullout in this area. This will be a bus stop, so concrete pad for an ADA accessible bus stop. There are a couple tree removals shown on this plan to construct that, indicated with the X and circle. And then there's a small support building that will go here. We're still kind of working on some of the details of that, but this is kind of the overall plan. We again think that this has little to no impact on historic preservation in this area, but it is also using some of our federal funding to build it. So we're required to do this analysis. And so, Heather, I think we're kind of looking for a similar recommendation on this one, correct? That,
yes.
That, yeah. So I can take any questions. I can also bring stuff back on the screen as well.
Heather, I'm sorry. I don't remember. Do you, any concern for ARC here? I would guess not, but...
I did not include the archaeology with this particular project because if I included it for Landmarks Commission review, it would have to be loaded up to Legistar, and then that would be information for everybody. So staff is providing comments related to archaeology separately.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess architecture history wise, I don't feel the need. We even need to potentially remain a if this is a separate project, I would guess we would do not need to remain a consulting party for this one, since I agree there is a little potential for impact to at least above ground resources. We're getting close to the marshes, so that's why. And Mendota mental health. So those are my thoughts.
Chair, Commissioner Taylor
has I apologize. Maurice, go ahead. I was looking at a map.
Just looking at this and the last one as well. Mm-hmm. Who are we recommending this too? What body is this going to now? This recommendation you're looking for now and the previous one from the last legislature?
Yeah, so it is actually both the Federal Transit Administration, the FTA, who's the federal body who's providing the funds and the permitting for the BRT and this site. The FTA has to go to local preservation groups as part of Section 106 and request if they want to be consulting parties and if they have any comments. So we are just providing comments to the FTA and their hired qualified professional who, I don't know if they hired Chronicle for this one also, but,
what are they thinking that since the busway is running through the historic districts of the town, they just want to know what we're thinking about it?
Yes, for every project that has federal funding or permitting or some sort of oversight, that federal agency has to determine if it will impact a historic resource that is either above ground or below ground. So as part of that process, they reach out to local historical societies and local preservation commissions, as well as tribes, and request to know if they have any information about an area, and then if they have any concerns, and if they want to be a consulting party. So the previous project, we know there are identified resources that are above ground that may or may not be impacted by the new north-south line of the BRT. Yeah. Okay. This one, we don't know of any resources above. And so that's because there are known resources. That's why I recommended that we say, you know, we have no comments at this time. However, if there are any changes, we want to remain a consulting party. Here, it's clear that there aren't any known historic properties above ground. So I'm comfortable with us saying, you know, we know of nothing. And we're good with the project. We don't need to, you don't need to come back to us if you, if there's anything new.
Okay.
Or if the project changes.
Okay. Thank
Unless
you.
Unless there's archaeology, Heather, but I'll leave that to you. Any other questions? Otherwise, I'm looking for a motion. Molly.
Sure. I will just carry over Katie's comment about including images of the what this charging station looks like. And then I will move that we, as Landmark Commission, do not, our comment is we do not see any adverse effects from this charging station, and we do not need to be a whatever consulting body for the project.
Is there a second?
I can second.
Excellent, thank you. I'm going to assume unanimous consent then. And I will thank you one more time, Mike, for coming and talking about this. We appreciate your time. And we will move on to agenda item number 6. This is Legistar file 88190, the demolition of historic value review for 630 East Washington Avenue. We do have one person registered in support, but just available to answer questions, and that's Mark Ott. Heather, I'm going to hand it to you because I assume if we do have any questions, he can answer them, but
sure,
he doesn't have anything special to say.
Okay. So for those of you who have served on Landmarks Commission for a bit, we did last look at this in 2019. This has been, well, let me start back at the beginning. I've gotten to the end. So this project is for proposed demolition for the building that is currently at 630 East Washington. This is currently a commercial building, and it was constructed in 1959. It was constructed as part of St. Patrick's Roman Catholic School. And in looking through the files, the preservation planner in 1987 called this a simple institutional building of little architectural interest. I think it's fun as a sort of late modern building, but there are other resources to be able to tell that architectural story. So when we looked at this in 2019, as part of the redevelopment of the site, Landmarks Commission did a finding of no known historic value. Since then, no additional information significant information has come forward. So staff is still recommending a finding of no known historic value. But here are our slate of potential motions if you would like to make a different motion.
Anyone have any questions? Otherwise, we're looking for a motion. Jacob?
I will move for a finding of C. There's no known historic value.
Excellent. Oh, Alder Duncan, is that a second? Excellent. Thank you. Then I will assume unanimous consent. Seeing nobody suggests that they disagree with that, and I will then look for a motion for dismissal.
Actually, Chair, before you do that, could I take an informal question of the commission? As part of us sending out agendas to everyone, ahead of me, but we, Lauren sending out emails to everyone. Lauren includes PDFs of all the files related to stuff on the agenda. And we got in that habit because a previous commissioner who hasn't served on the Landmarks Commission in many years at this point had difficulty navigating Legistar. And so while we've got the links in the agenda and you can go and see all the files and go into which one you wanted, this person had difficulty doing that. So their request was that all of the files be attached to the email that went out to the commission. So we've continued to do that. I am asking if it's okay if we just send you the agenda and then you can click on the links and we're not clogging up people's inboxes. There's a current commissioner who it tends to bounce back because of the amount of files that we're sending and it's creating problems. So before we just change it and we're not emailing you PDFs anymore, are you okay if we stop sending you PDFs and you can just look at the stuff on Legistar? Alder Duncan says yes.
I'm fine with it.
I'm fine yeah. with it, although I do like them.
It's convenient. I know. Yeah.
But
I, very yeah, if it causes a problem,
it to work for others, so right, yeah, to download it myself.
Gotcha. If as we've making the shift, if you run into problems or you have questions, please send an email to me or Lauren or give us a call or whatever, and we will help you navigate.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also do sometimes use Legislar anyways to get them. So.
Okay, so I'm sorry for being out of order and asking this question. I will turn the meeting back over to you, Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you for asking. That is an excellent question. Okay. I'm still looking for a motion for dismissal, if that's what we're feeling. Alder Duncan, do I have a second?
Jacob, a second.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, and have a lovely evening.
Thank you.